Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's Wednesday, so it's time to talk sports with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Great. So we're going to start today with a sport that we don't often talk about in America, rugby. Rugby will be included in the Rio Games this August. It's the first time it's been in the Olympics since 1924, and there will be a Boston player on Team USA.
Good handoff. Lovely backflip pass. And that try has been scored by Nate Ebner. Now, Nate Ebner, I think... You may be aware, is the lad from the U.S. that is probably on show here.
That lad from the U.S. is the Patriots' backup safety. We heard him scoring a try, the rugby term for a goal, and that was in Hong Kong for the U.S. Rugby Sevens team, a game that I have actually seen, the Rugby Sevens. So, Bill, start by telling us more about Nate Ebner.
Well, I think the most remarkable thing for me about Nate Ebner is that his coach with the Patriots, Bill Belichick, has said it's okay with him if Nate Ebner goes and plays rugby in the Olympics, because by doing so, he will be missing some football practice. Huh. And apparently there's a clause in his latest contract extension which says, yes, you have the team's permission to go play rugby in the Olympics.
I want his lawyer
cool.
who negotiated his contract.
I like it. I like it a lot because, you know, the National Football League in general and the Patriots in particular have taken a lot of heat over the years for taking themselves far too seriously. And it's kind of cool that say to this guy, yeah, go ahead.
It is. All right. Well, for those of us who are rugby newbies, the ball looks almost the same as a football. But how do the two games compare?
Well, one way in which they don't compare is equipment. Rugby players don't wear nearly so much equipment, and so you when you see them playing the game, you can actually identify them if you're interested in doing that.
No major face mask, okay.
Yeah, I've watched a little of this on YouTube just out of curiosity. It's very fast. Once they break out of their scrums, which are look sort of like huddles except they're tighter, there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of you pass the ball, you kick the ball, you run with the ball. It's an exciting game. It'll be fun to watch.
And unlike soccer, you can touch the ball.
Yes, you can.
So why was rugby out of the Olympics in the first place, and why is it back now?
Well, I have a theory about that. I've been doing some historical study. In the spring of 1924 in Paris, which was the last time rugby was in the Olympics, the French team was favored to win. The U.S. team, made up of apparently a ragtag band of college athletes, beat them. After which, the American fans were mobbed and beaten and had to be rescued. The French were so angry at losing that there was a riot in the stadium, and the American fans had to be rescued by police officers.
So these are the original rugby hooligans.
It was only a little bit later that the French came around to saying, well, you know, those American guys were pretty good. I guess we should sort of celebrate them. And then they started buying them drinks and dinner all over Paris. And so the entire atmosphere changed utterly.
But the ban lasted almost 100 years.
Whatever rugby teams go to play in Rio can only hope that there will be anything that dramatic the latter part of that story happening.
I'm stunned to learn that the U.S. is technically the defending champion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what happens when they don't play for, about a century.
So are they a contender for a medal this time?
I have no idea. I just have no idea. If you look at world rankings and that sort of thing, you don't think so.
All right.
But, hey, they are defending champions, so everybody better look out.
All right. We can't talk about any kind of football in this town, of course, without mentioning the latest update on Deflategate. And on Friday, we learned that Tom Brady had dropped his appeal of that 4-game suspension that the NFL handed him a year ago. This came 2 days after the Second Circuit Court of Appeals denied his petition. So is this fight finally over?
In terms of Tom Brady, this fight is finally over, as you say. I have a great hope that the players' union will not push it any further, although technically, as I understand it, they could. But I hope they won't.
Well, the upshot is he won't be playing for the Patriots until game 5 of the season. So how's that going to affect the team's success?
Most of the stuff that I've read suggests that the Patriots ought to be just fine. They won't be as good in those first 4 games as they would have been if their starter was on the field. But most of the stuff I've read has been pretty optimistic. So I'm not worried.
You're not worried. Okay, you heard it here first. Thank you so much. Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs Saturdays at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. right here on WBUR. Bill, great to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.